Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Wednesday, July 6th. If a person wants proof of the type of Midland ISD improvement on the STAR test compared to a year earlier, he or she just needs to look at the number of times that students in grade 3 MISD has success with STAR. TEA, elementaries report greatest gains in 2021-22. By Stuart Doreen. MISD is showing the academic performance growth that many followers of education in the community have wanted to see. 1 week following the public announcement that in-district metrics showed improvement not experienced in around 5 years, the district reported preliminary state accountability testing scores that improved across the board in the elementary and junior high levels. If a person wants proof of the type of Midland ISD improvement on the STAR test compared to a year earlier, he or she just needs to look at the number of times that students in grades 3 through 8 surpassed 70% passage or approaches grade level. Approaches grade level, according to TexasAssessment.gov, means a student showed some knowledge of the material but doesn't show an understanding of some of the most important parts. That is still passing, but it's likely your child will need extra help in the next grade. In 2021, Midland ISD reported 70% of students achieved basic passage one time in 17 chances. 1 year later, that number was 9 in 15 chances. Midland ISD students in grades 3 through 8 outperformed the previous year's classes when it came to passage, 15-0, meeting grade level, showing they are ready for the next grade, 14-0, and showing a mastery, being well prepared for success in the next grade, 12-3. The district also reported that students in grades 3 through 8 showed gains in reading at every level of performance compared to 2019 as well. These scores demonstrate that the academic strategies put in place this year are working, Midland ISD Superintendent Angelica Ramsey stated in a release. While there is still room for improvement at the secondary level, the gains we are seeing at every level of performance for grades 3 through 8 are remarkable. Building a strong base of knowledge at these grades lays the groundwork for future success. The district also reported mixed results at the high school level, where testing was administered in Algebra 1, Biology, English 1, English 2, and U.S. History. The results showed declines in approaches grade level and meets grade level. There was an increase in master's grade level. Official results, which include accountability ratings, are anticipated to be released by the Texas Education Agency in mid-August. This article is entitled TEA, MISD Shows Clear Advantage Over ECISD on STAR, by Stuart Doreen. When it came to STAR results between Midland ISD and Ector County ISD, Odessa, it wasn't a fair fight. Midland ISD elementary and junior high students again outperformed their neighbors to the west, according to results released from both school districts. The comparison takes into account a total of 15 different tests taken by students in grades 3 through 8. Midland ISD students outperformed ECISD 15-0 when looking at students approaching grade level or basic passage in categories having to do mostly with reading and math. For students meeting grade level or showing they are ready for the next grade, Midland ISD didn't trail any categories, outperforming ECISD 14-0. Lastly, When it came to subject mastery, being well prepared for success in the next grade, ECISD had its best results, winning 3 of 15 categories versus Midland ISD students. In the high school grades, Midland ISD outperformed ECISD in all 5 tests: Algebra 1, English 1, English 2, U.S. History, and Biology, at the approaches, meets, and master's levels. This article is entitled, MISD Elementary Students Show Strength Against State in Math, by Stuart Doreen. When it came to Midland ISD's star score comparison with the state, math was the strong suit. Midland ISD students in grades 3 through 8 actually outperformed the state on math tests, according to the initial results provided by the state and district. For results that showed passage or approaches grade level, Midland ISD students outperformed the state in 3 of 5 tests. All totaled, however, the state average was superior in 5 of 6 reading tests. That meant overall, Midland ISD beat the state average in 5 of 14 categories, 3rd through 8th grades. That was comparable to 2021 results. For math results that showed a student is ready for the next grade, or meets grade level, Midland ISD also outperformed the state in 3 of 5 grade levels. Like approaches grade level, Midland ISD outperformed the state in 5 of 14 categories, which includes math, reading, social studies, and science. When looking at mastery of content, or showing a student is well prepared for success in the next grade, Midland ISD students outperformed the state in 4 of 15 categories. In the high school grades, the state average was better than Midland ISD in all 5 tests: Algebra 1, English 1, English 2, U.S. History, and Biology, at the approaches, meets, and master's levels. This article is entitled CBS Poll: Abbott Still Holds Lead Over O'Rourke, by Priscilla Aguirre, staff writer. A new poll from CBS showed how Governor Greg Abbott still holds a good position to win against Democratic candidate and former Congressman Beto O'Rourke. A new poll from CBS shows how Governor Greg Abbott still holds a good position against Democratic candidate and former Congressman Beto O'Rourke in the Texas gubernatorial race. CBS DFW surveyed 1,075 voters in Texas between June 22nd and 27th. From its results, Abbott leads O'Rourke at 49% to 41%. O'Rourke has been trailing Abbott in many polls since he announced his interest in running for governor last year. In May, Abbott was up by 7 points, holding a 46-39 lead in the Dallas Morning News and the University of Texas at Tyler poll. The showings for the latest CBS poll come after Abbott has received some strong criticism for his response to the deadly mass shooting in Uvalde. In the poll, 55% of the people surveyed believe Abbott did a bad job in his Uvalde efforts, while 45% believe he did a good job. CBS DFW added that the majority of his own party voted in good light of Abbott. For other leaders, 65% of the voters disapprove of Senator John Cornyn when it comes to representing Texas's interests as it relates to guns. In the same gun-related approval, 58% of the voters disapprove of Ted Cruz. The CBS poll continued to show strong support for red flag laws, background checks, a ban on semi-automatic weapons, and restricting the age to buy an AR-15. This column is called Commentary. It is entitled Happy 246th Anniversary, America, by Eliel Rosa. Fox News just put out a poll showing that the number of citizens who are not proud of America has dramatically dropped in the past decade. That is not true in our West Texas. On this past 4th of July, this group of 21 patriots, 20 seen in the picture, and my precious wife Jacy, who took the photo, gathered together to carry out the 4th edition of the public reading of the Declaration of Independence at Gratitude Square, a beautiful memorial created by Midland County to honor those who have fallen in defense of our so appreciated freedoms. More than ever before, we need to celebrate the foundations, values, and sacrifices that have made America the freest and most powerful nation in human history, especially after the unexpected U.S. Supreme Court decisions from last week, the majority of them pointing to the same direction. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are still alive in America. As each one of the 28 grievances recorded by our founding fathers was read, it was not difficult at all to apply them to the realities of our country in 2022. Every single time the phrase "he, King George III, has done this, he has done that" was read, we couldn't help but think about the long list of aberrations that have been arbitrarily imposed against the American people in our days. And they are countless right now. Let us all, therefore, take heed to the powerful, inspiring words from radio host Paul Harvey. The 56 signers of the Declaration considered liberty, this is as much as I shall say of it, they had learned liberty is so much more important than security, that they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. And they fulfilled their pledge, they paid the price, and freedom was born. This is the obituary column, Wednesday, July 6th. Brandon Dell Smith. Brandon Dell Smith, 38, of Midland, passed away on July 3rd in Midland. The family will receive friends on Thursday, July 7th, from 6 to 8 p.m. at Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Funeral service will be held on Friday, July 8th at 11:30 a.m., at Nellie Pickle and Welch Chapel, with Pastor David Belloc officiating. Burial will follow at Rest Haven Cemetery. Brandon was born on September 21, 1983, to Rick and Debbie Smith in Stanton. Brandon is survived by his parents, Rick and Debbie Smith, his brother Michael Smith, fiancé Dallas, one niece and two nephews. Three children, Kylie, Bailey, and Cooper, his grandmother Charlene Felton, as well as many aunts, uncles, and cousins. He is preceded in death by his grandmother Jewel Taylor, his grandfathers Perry Smith and William W. Smith. In lieu of flowers, the family suggests memorials be donated to Breaking Bread or Meals on Wheels. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Charles Johnson. Tyler. Charles King Johnson, 72, passed away after a lengthy illness on June 17th in Woodville, Texas. A resident of Tyler, he was born on March 2, 1950 in Raymondville, Texas, to Bill and Alice Johnson, and later adopted by his grandparents, Charles R. and Olga Pearl Johnson. He is survived by his wife Carolyn, his daughter Jennifer, his son Regan, daughter-in-law Alexis, granddaughter Adeline, grandson Noah, mother-in-law and husband Betty and Jim Honia, and brother Brooke Johnson. He is also survived by sister-in-law and husband Sandy and Jay Allen, plus several nieces and nephews. He is preceded in death by his parents and a brother Tom. Funeral service will be at the Dallas National Cemetery, 2000 Mountain Creek Parkway in Dallas, 75211, on July 12th at 1 p.m. Memorial donations may be made to the Children's Craniofacial Association, 13140 Coit Road, Suite 517, Dallas, 75240. Louis Edward Stallings. Big Spring. Louis Edward Sousa Stallings departed this life on July 1st, surrounded by family, at his home in Big Spring. Louis was born at the family home in Lomax on November 3, 1931. Louis was preceded in death by his parents, Arthur J. Stallings and wife Odessa Lomax Stallings, and a sister, Evelyn Stallings Adkins. Louis is survived by one brother, Arthur J. Jimmy Stallings, Jr. of Midland, his wife of 70 years, Luann Creighton Stallings of Big Spring, and four children, Diane Griffin Lane of Vincent, Kyle Stallings, Jamie of Midland, Lane Cooper, Dan of La Mesa, and Todd Stallings, Connie of Midland. He is also survived by 17 grandchildren, 12 grandchildren-in-laws, and 29 great-grandchildren. A viewing at Nellie Pickle Funeral Home in Big Spring will be from 9 to 5 on Tuesday, July 5th, and visitation from 5 to 7 that evening. Services are scheduled for July 6th at 2 p.m. at the Nellie Pickle Rosewood Chapel in Big Spring. Interment will follow at Trinity Memorial Park. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Death Notices. Andres Evaristo Brito. Andres Evaristo Brito, 54, of Midland, passed away July 1st. Visitation will be on Thursday, July 7th, from 9 a.m. until 8 p.m., with a rosary service at 7 p.m. at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. In keeping with his wishes, cremation services will follow. Online condolences can be made at www.asanchestfh.com. Caitlin Claire Pause. Caitlin Claire Cat Pause, 42, passed away unexpectedly at her home in New Zealand on March 24, 2022. Caitlin was born in Midland on May 29, 1979. A rosary will be held at St. Stephen's Catholic Church in Midland on Wednesday, July 13th at 7 p.m. Funeral Mass will be said at St. Stephen's on Thursday, July 14th at 11 a.m. A private interment service will follow at St. Anne's Catholic Church. Pedro Paniagua, Jr. Pedro Paniagua, Jr., 43, of Midland, passed away on Saturday, July 2nd. Viewing is Thursday, July 7th from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. with a prayer service at 6 p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home Chapel. Funeral service is set for Friday, July 8th at 10 a.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home Chapel. Burial will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens.
This is Connie reading the Odessa American for Wednesday, July 6th, 2022. Council gets Parks Master Plan Update by Kim Smith. When it comes to parks, Odessa doesn't compare. In fact, Odessa City Council members were told Tuesday Odessa has 3.9 acres of parks for every 1,000 residents, compared to 14.8 acres per 1,000 in Amarillo and 6.8 acres for every 1,000 in San Angelo. In addition, since the City of Odessa and the University of Texas Permian Basin no longer have an agreement to share UTPB's sports complex, Odessans have even fewer parks than it did in 1994. Aaron Tooley of HALFF Engineers told council members. After 3 years of open houses, online surveys, and 24 listening sessions, Tooley made the trip from Houston Tuesday to present a proposed 5-year plan for Odessa's parks, recreation, open space, and urban landscapes. An engineering firm recommends the city make a determined attempt to find and dedicate funds solely for the acquisition and development of parks throughout the city. Tooley said he would like the city to build a new sports complex, but also additional parks on the east and north sides of Odessa. At the same time, the city would need to hire additional staff to support and maintain the new facilities. Tooley estimated the cost of a new sports complex at $28 million to $40 million. That does not include land costs. The city's park system is just as integral to a city as its water and transportation infrastructure, Tooley said. According to the 800 or so people who participated in an online community needs survey, residents listed walking trails, playgrounds, and swimming pools as the top three important park features. The proposed five-year study sets five goals, Tooley said. The goals include having parks equally distributed throughout the city, providing a diverse and equitable range of programs throughout the city, provide safe and accessible trails that are in harmony with the area's natural resources, and to ensure the park system is fiscally sustainable, Tooley said. More than 78% of those who participated in the surveys said they'd actually be willing to pay more for a new home in a new subdivision if additional funds were spent on parks and trails, Tooley said. Since studies have shown sports complexes never entirely pay for themselves, Tooley told the council it ought to consider creating public improvement districts to fund the parks. He also said other options include encouraging developers to allocate space within their projects for parks and forming a partnership with the Ector County Independent School District for park spaces. In Houston, the city and its largest school district have formed a partnership that has resulted in 250 parks on school land, but that are kept separate from the school's facility, he said. Tuesday's discussion of the five-year plan began with Mayor Javier Hoven objecting to a turn of phrase of Tooley. Tooley told the council his firm was recommending the creation of a new sports complex because of the closure of the UTPB park. Hoven told Tooley, "I want to make it clear, UTPB was not closed. There's a real misconception that we closed that park. It wasn't a closure. It still exists. It is UTPB's park. UTPB just chose not to renew the contract. It wasn't us." Up until last July, the city of Odessa had a 25-year agreement with UTPB that allowed it to rent the park for $1 per year, plus 10% of any gross proceeds it collected from commercial proceeds, excluding food and beverages. However, the university contended the city was breaking its agreement by subletting the fields to various sports organizations, some of whom turned around and subleased to other organizations. Regardless of how it happened, Tooley noted that the city needs at least a 100-acre sports complex, aquatic facility, splash pad, community park to replace the loss of the UTPB facilities. Tooley also said the city needs 11 more softball fields and additional football and soccer fields. The city also needs to invest in improving conditions at its existing parks, noting that Comanche Trail West, Jim Parker, Sherwood, and Woodson Parks all earned a grade of C when assessed. McKinney Park earned a B, and Floyd Gwynn received a D prior to the start of an ongoing renovation project. Comanche Trail East Soccer Park owned an A, but is underutilized. The council is expected to take the adoption of the master plan up again next Tuesday, but council members stressed the plan is merely a guideline. Several said they were unwilling to bind future councils to the plan. Passing the baton, daughter taking on speech debate from dad. Editor's note, this story originally ran with an incorrect name for Kennedy Hernandez. The OA regrets the error. By Ruth Campbell. Continuing the legacy of Aaron Cox, his daughter, Kennedy Hernandez, will be taking over as speech teacher and debate coach. Cox, who was speech debate coach at OHS for decades, is moving to George H.W. Bush New Tech Odessa to teach film and audio productions. Having Hernandez take over his position adds to his legacy at OHS. She's going to be wonderful. She's going to do outstanding. She's young, so she'll be able to recruit more than I could. And so they will see this young blood coming in and say, oh, I want to try this. I'm very proud and happy that she's got the position, Cox said. Cox said he will not be bugging Hernandez until second semester. Then I will come in and peek in and say, hey, how are you doing? No critique until the second semester, Cox said. Hernandez participated in speech and debate at OHS with her father as her teacher and made University Interscholastic League and Texas Forensic Association's competitions throughout high school. She added that it was sometimes annoying to have her dad as her teacher. Anybody who knows my dad knows he's a pusher, like he'll push you. So I feel like with the dynamic that we had, because he was my dad, I was definitely more obstinate, I guess. I did not want to do what my dad said when he said it, but I think overall we were a pretty good team, she said. Hernandez said she does plan on changing up some things in the program. My dad had his run for 20-something years. I am ready to take it over. I am expecting this first year to be rough while I get my feet in the water, but I am so excited to recruit. I'm so excited to give the program a fresh face, if you will. I definitely plan on doing things differently than my dad does, but I also plan on pulling from what my dad did because he was so successful. I would be crazy to not take some of his pointers, she said. Hernandez taught second grade during the 2021-22 school year. Her parents are Aaron Cox and Christy Crutcher, who taught elementary and now teaches middle school at St. John's Episcopal School. Hernandez has a 2-year-old daughter, Ophelia. I really enjoy teaching. I never saw myself as a teacher growing up because both my parents were teachers and I didn't want to do it, Hernandez said. But I started because they were running that program where as long as you had a college degree, you could teach the Odessa Pathway to Teaching. So I enrolled in a certification program and decided to try it out, she added. She said she really liked it, but she decided she wanted to teach older students. I decided to go ahead and interview for Odessa High. The principal asked me if I'd be interested in taking speech, since my dad was leaving, and I was like, yes, of course I would. I loved speech and debate when I was in it. That's what I got my college degree and actually was like communication and speech and all of that. So I was super stoked to have the opportunity to try it, especially to step into my dad's shoes, Hernandez said. Hernandez went to Odessa College and University of Texas Permian Basin, where she earned a bachelor's degree in communication and speech rhetoric. She was attending Grand Canyon University for graduate school in mental health counseling, but she is currently on break to care for her daughter. Hernandez said it's going to be a jump teaching high school, but she's ready for it. I like the older kids. I like the fact that they already know how to read and write and do all of the fundamentals, because really, in the lower grades, you're teaching the fundamentals, and that's scary because once you teach them there, it impacts them for the rest of their lives in a different way than what you're teaching high school kids. So I'm definitely excited that my kids will know how to read and write this year, Hernandez added. She said the best part of teaching is seeing the students grow, whether as a person or academically. It really makes you feel like you're making an impact whenever you get to watch them from where they start to where the school ends, Hernandez said. Also from the front page, Crockett Assistant Principal wins EOY Award by OA News. Although she hasn't been with Ector County ISD long, Angelina Hilton has already made an impression. Hilton, an assistant principal at Crockett Middle School, was recently named the Secondary Assistant Principal of the Year. Born in Rio Bravo, Mexico, Hilton grew up mostly in Edinburgh. She worked there for about 12 years and then moved to Houston ISD for a year. COVID hit, so she moved back to Edinburgh. Hilton has been in education for 17 years. She also served as a teacher and administrator before arriving at Crockett Middle School in the fall after school had started. Hilton earned her bachelor's in interdisciplinary studies and a master's in elementary education, bilingual, bicultural, from the University of Texas Pan American, now called University of Texas Rio Grande Valley. She has been a part-time instructor for the university since 2018, preparing future teachers. Hilton also took a doctorate in transformative leadership online. Her husband, Michael, is a disabled Army veteran, so Hilton said they're used to moving around. We lived in Germany. We lived in Fort Hood. So to us, a change is always good. I saw the opportunity here. They accepted me, and here I am. Education has always been in my passion. So whenever I'm needed, if I'm needed, and they want me, I'm here, Hilton said. Hilton came to the U.S. from Mexico in sixth grade. Her mother was a teacher for 40 years in Mexico. My sister's a teacher. All the family has been a teacher. Since I was four, I wanted to be a teacher, she added. I love education. My son just took a job at LBJ as a teacher. So he's going to be a first-year teacher, Hilton said. Her daughter is expected to graduate from University of Texas Permian Basin in December and plans to become a teacher as well. Her husband taught in Houston and has worked in the school nutrition department for ECISD, but will start teaching science at Crockett in the fall. She added that she and other teachers and administrators can relate to the students' home lives. Every single teacher here, every single administrator has a story, Hilton said. Being named Assistant Secondary Principal of the Year was crazy, but in a good way. This is my first year, and I really appreciate them. It can't happen without the students, the parents, and the staff. The community has a lot to do with it, and I've really good experiences so far. It's been a very big honor, especially coming in for the first time and receiving such an award, she said. Hilton said she had no idea she would receive the recognition, and she was the first stop that day for ECISD executives. She added that she's enjoyed ECISD. The students are there to learn, and she has established good relationships with the parents and staff. It's been very enjoyable, and the staff has been great, Hilton said. Quick hits. Adoption events. The Odessa Animals Shelter has scheduled the following adoption events. Today, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Bubba's, 5163 East Highway 191. July 7th, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m., Ector County Health Department, 221 North Texas Avenue. Birthday Bash. Endless Horizons Records and Tapes Incorporated, 2525 Andrews Highway, has scheduled a birthday bash for Ringo Starr from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. July 7th. Cupcakes and giveaways will be included. The event is free and open to the public. Immunization Clinic. The Ector County Health Department, 221 North Texas Avenue, has scheduled back-to-school 7th grade immunization clinic from 8:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. July 7th and July 21st. You must qualify for the TVFC vaccine and provide updated shot records. Book Club. The Ector County Library, 321 West 5th Street, has scheduled Percy Jackson Book Club for ages 8 through 12 from 3:30 p.m. to 5 p.m. July 7th in the Basement Activity Room. For more information, call 432-332-0633. Bill Engelvall, the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North Farm to Market, 1788 in Midland, will present Bill Engelvall at 7:30 July 8th. Doors open at 6:30. Summer programs continue at Ector County Library by OAG News. The summer reading kickoff party at the Ector County Library took place on May 26th, which included face painting, balloon animals, snow cones, and the generosity of many community partner sponsors. Popular events thus far include the Pirate Scavenger Hunt, theater production of Treasure Island, and music from Will Parker and the Make Believe Band, the press release stated. Upcoming highlights include ocean painting from 3 to 4 today, Percy Jackson Sea of Monsters Book Club from 3:30 to 5 p.m., Thursday, Dungeons and Dragons from 3:30 to 5 p.m. Thursday, Ocean Story Cubes 3:30 to 5 p.m. Thursday. More programming can be found on the library's website, ector.lip.tx.us. The Ector County Library was first established in 1938. It is free and open to the public, serves all ages, has an extensive collection of 200,000 print books, over 20,000 e-books, nearly 100 databases, and serves a population of over 160,000 people locally and regionally. Local news roundup. Gomez acquitted in kidnapping case. An Ector County jury last week acquitted a 37-year-old Odessa man accused of kidnapping his former girlfriend at gunpoint. On June 28th, Maria Quinones, 39, a single mom of three children, testified Julian Gomez kidnapped her shortly after she'd broken off their short-term relationship in the spring of 2020. Quinones says she decided to end the relationship after discovering Gomez smoking meth with the girlfriend of one of his friends. She told his friend about the incident, and that set Gomez off, Quinones said. He began sending her dozens and dozens of expletive-laced texts and voice messages telling her he was going to kill her for ruining his life. Every time she blocked the call, Gomez would just call and text from a new number, she told Assistant Ector County Attorney Courtney Williams. On June 3, 2020, Quinones says she was driving to her Southside home from a friend's house on East 35th Street when Gomez suddenly appeared next to her car in his car, cut her off, pointed a gun at her, and told her to pull over. She obliged because I was afraid he was going to shoot, she testified. The woman testified Gomez dropped her off at her car hours later after she managed to convince him that she loved him and she would meet him later that day. Defense attorney Luis Chavez and law school student Antonio Chavez told jurors prosecutors couldn't prove Gomez had a gun that night or that he forced Quinones to go with him. They suggested Quinones went willingly with Gomez because she didn't want to return home to her children, questioning why she didn't call 911 when she had many opportunities. Arkansas man arrested on felonies. An Odessa officer who expected to write a couple of traffic tickets ended up arresting an Arkansas man on a handful of felony charges Friday morning. According to an Odessa Police Department report, the officer was near Pronto and Trunk Streets around 12:30 a.m. Friday, when he saw the driver of a Chevrolet Silverado speeding down Pronto and then blowing through the stop sign at Trunk. The officer wrote in his report he had to accelerate past 70 miles an hour to catch up with the pickup. The driver of the truck, Raymond Charles Jr., 41, of Fort Smith, Arkansas, smelled like marijuana and alcohol, according to the report. The officer found a usable amount of marijuana, a THC vape cartridge, and a .45 caliber semi-automatic handgun that had been reported stolen in Arkansas in Charles's truck, the report stated. The computer check indicated Charles had an extensive criminal history, including at least one felony conviction, making it illegal for him to possess firearms, according to the report. Charles was arrested on suspicion of unlawful possession of a firearm by a felony, two counts of possession of a controlled substance, theft of a firearm, and possession of marijuana. As of Monday morning, he remained in Ector County Jail on surety bonds totaling $91,000. The U.S. Marshals Service has also placed a hold on him. Fire destroys shop office. An Odessa family lost a 4,500-square-foot detached garage shop office in an early morning fire Tuesday. Odessa Fire Rescue Battalion Chief Quentin Dobmeyer said an Odessa police officer was on patrol when he saw flames coming out of a shop in the 5700 block of Colorado Avenue around 1:30 a.m. The officer notified the residents of the nearby home, and when firefighters arrived, the entire shop was fully engulfed in flames, Dobmeyer said. Just under 20 firefighters brought the fire under control in about 45 minutes, but remained on scene checking for hot spots until about 7:30 a.m. No one was injured, but the shop and its contents, which included vehicles and tools, were a total loss. Fireworks has been reported in the area, but the cause of the fire remains under investigation, Dobmeyer said. Although OFR responded to several small brush fires and dumpster fires caused by fireworks, he said the 4th of July weekend wasn't as chaotic as in the past. Two Odessans dead following crash. Two Odessa men were killed Sunday night while evading law enforcement officers in Crane, according to the Texas Department of Public Safety. According to DPS, Adrian Elijah White, 20, was speeding west on U.S. 385 in an apparent attempt to evade officers when he lost control of the Kia Forte he was driving and it went into a building. White, who was not wearing a seatbelt, was pronounced dead at the scene, as was his passenger, Aaron Robert White, 17, who was wearing a seatbelt. Odessan injured following pursuit. An Odessa resident escaped with minor injuries Monday after a Texas Department of Public Safety trooper ran into them during a pursuit. According to DPS, a state trooper tried to stop a 2019 Nissan for a traffic violation on Whitaker Avenue just after 11 a.m., but the driver refused to stop. The trooper started pursuing the Nissan but ended up hitting an occupied parked vehicle and a fence in the 200 block of Casa Grande. The person in the car was treated by Odessa EMS at the scene and released. The trooper wasn't hurt, according to DPS. DPS is working to confirm a possible identification of the suspect. Brandon Dale Smith, Midland. Brandon Dale Smith, 38, of Midland, passed away on Sunday, July 3rd, in Midland. The family will receive friends on Thursday, July 7th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Naley Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Funeral service will be held on Friday, July 8th at 11:30 a.m. at Naley Pickle and Welch Chapel. Burial will follow at Rest Haven Cemetery. Brandon was born on September 21, 1983, to Rick and Debbie Smith in Stanton, Texas. Brandon is survived by his parents, Rick and Debbie Smith, his brother, Michael Smith, and fiancée, Dallas, one niece, two nephews, three children, Kylie, Baylor, and Cooper, grandmother, Charlene Felton, aunts, uncles, and cousins. He is Peggy Joyce Wallace. His grandfathers, Perry Smith and William W. S. Smith, his cousin, Clayton Smith, and his uncle, James Taylor. In lieu of flowers, the family suggests memorials be donated to Breaking Bread or Meals on Wheels. Online condolences can be made to www.mpwelch.com. Peggy Joyce Wallace, Odessa. Peggy Joyce Watson Wallace went home on June 30th, 2022, at age 89. Peggy and her husband, Curtis Gerald Wallace, celebrated their marriage ceremony in Peggy's parents' home June 16, 1951. Peggy joins her beloved husband, Kurt, in heaven, as well as her parents and two sisters. Peggy is survived by her children, Mike and Karen, and her son-in-law, Joshua. She also leaves behind 4 grandchildren and 11 great-grandchildren. Public visitation will be Thursday, July 7th from 5 to 7 p.m. at Frank W. Wilson Funeral Directors. Funeral services will be Friday, July 8th at 10 a.m., the funeral home followed by burial at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Alejandro Ornelius, Odessa. Alejandro Ornelius, 85, of Balmoray, died Friday, July 1st in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. Thursday, July 7th at Christ the King, Balmoray. Burial will follow at Balmoray Cemetery. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Joe R. Tata Aguilar, Odessa. Joe R. Tata Aguilar, 79 of Odessa, Texas, died Sunday, July 3rd in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m. July 7th at Acres West Funeral Chapel. David Baum, Odessa. David Baum, 88 of Odessa, died Saturday, July 2nd in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 3 p.m. July 9th at Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Ibuprofen and Kidney Failure. Dear Dr. Roach, I am an individual with continuous back pain. I was and still am, at 76 years young, a carpenter. I have had several back surgeries, disc removals, fusions, opening of the spaces around the spinal cord. I continue to abuse my back, but I love my work as it gives much satisfaction. As a result, I take a lot of ibuprofen. I recently finished an article about an individual whose doctor told him his kidney failure was related to overuse of ibuprofen. Is this a reality that I should be concerned about? Answer: it is absolutely a real issue, with at least 2.5 million episodes of acute kidney injury each year in the U.S. caused by anti-inflammatory medicines like ibuprofen. For any given individual, the risk is somewhere between 1 and 5%. That being said, the risk increases as we age, and taking ibuprofen, if you are dehydrated from sweating, vomiting, or diarrhea. It also increases the risk of developing acute kidney injury. People who take large amounts of anti-inflammatories are also likely to have deterioration of their kidney function over time. I think you would be wise to get your kidney function checked periodically. You can continue to take ibuprofen if your kidney function is in the normal range and stable, but decreasing or stop your use if your kidney function is declining.
This is the Dear Abby column. Married woman's epiphany opens path to a new life. Dear Abby, I have been married for 2 decades to a man who is incapable of connecting with anyone. It didn't become apparent until after we were married. He is very good at surface relationships, but cannot go deeper than that. Because of this, he abused, isolated, and ignored me. He didn't realize he was causing harm, since he didn't regard me, and still doesn't regard me, as a person with emotions. A friend I've known for a decade recently has confessed he's attracted to me. This man communicates with me without words, We connect easily and completely. We kissed one time, and for the first time I understood why people enjoy kissing and how it unites two people. With my husband, it's just a task to complete. My husband has, for the most part, stopped abusing me. He has become a fairly decent man, as long as I don't expect much from him. I can't decide if I should stay as the invisible wife or take a chance at being seen, cherished, and loved. The new relationship cannot move forward unless I'm divorced, but there's no guarantee we would be married or would even want to be. We definitely love each other, but still have a lot to learn about one another. Should I stay where it's safe but heartbreakingly lonely, or take a chance that could either end well or very badly? Signed, Invisible Woman. Dear Invisible, for the last 20 years you have been living what you describe as a heartbreakingly lonely existence. Why have you tolerated it? If you do what you are considering and things don't work out, are you strong enough to go it alone in the future? Like any other investment, whether to pursue this depends on your tolerance for risk. If you divorce, it should not be for anyone else, but only for yourself. Dear Abby, I have a coworker who bullies the team into attending funerals. These are not individuals who are close or well known to me or to the others. If a family member or even an in-law of someone who works with us passes away, this person demands to know the funeral details and then bullies me and the others into going. Abby, I understand one goes to funerals for the people who have lost someone and to pay respects. But I also think funerals are a touchy subject, and it is inappropriate to go if you don't even know the deceased's name and aren't close with the co-worker who sustained the loss. I always send flowers, a card, and my condolences. Why must I also sit graveside? What is a good response, besides no, when I am cornered to attend a funeral without starting World War III with this co-worker? Signed, Forced in Texas. Dear Forced, all you need to say, in addition to no, is, I'm not comfortable doing that, so don't ask me again. Then stick to your guns, and refuse to allow yourself to be arm-twisted into doing anything on your own time with which you are uncomfortable. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.